Pardon?
Direction.
I want to talk this morning about the Dvar Torah tragedy. The Dvar Torah tragedy. You may say, how can a tragedy be a Dvar Torah? How can a Dvar Torah become a tragedy? And allow me to explain how. No, I'm not talking about 20 minutes. We'll get to that maybe later. I'm talking about a tragedy. See, 20 minutes is an annoyance. But it's not a tragedy. What is a tragedy? I'll tell you what a tragedy is. The Mishnah in Maseches Avos, Gimel, that's how I remember it, says that if three people eat together, and they ain b'neihem divrei Torah, and they don't speak any Torah between them, it's as if they ate zibchei meitim. It is if they ate dead corpses. Think of an animal, just kill it and eat it. That's how terrible it is to have a meal without a Dvar Torah, to have a gathering of three Jews or more without a Dvar Torah. They have to have Torah between you. Now that's a very harsh statement, don't you think? Yeah. So they didn't speak Torah, so they didn't mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah at the meal. All right. I don't remember a Gemara like this regarding other mitzvahs. If you didn't do this mitzvah, it is as if you ate dead corpses. That's a very harsh statement. If you look at the Mefarshim on that Mishnah, you'll see that they all say it's like Avodah Zarah. They all use the word Avodah Zarah. Anyone here want to guess why? You'll never guess. Because in Masechet Avodah Zarah we find the very same phrase, albeit in a different context. It says, Jews in Chutz La'aretz that go to an idol worshipper's house. Idol worshipper's house. Not a non-Jew, but an idol worshipper. Even though they're eating kosher food and they're drinking kosher wine, and the gentleman is serving them, it's like eating zibchei meitim. Same thing again, dead corpses. How do we put these two together? And allow me to explain. A sandwich. Allow me to explain it very simply. What is Avodah Zarah? Why were Jews throughout the generation so attracted to Avodah Zarah? I mean, we don't have that attraction today so much. Why is it throughout the Bible, throughout the Nevi'im, throughout the Ketuvim, we find that Jews were attracted to Avodah Zarah?
Are you looking at Avodah Zarah as simply a foreign service?
Idol worship. Yeah.
Probably.
I mean, it seems ridiculous. You bow down to an idol, and that's God? Even someone with half a mind would know that's not the way to go. It doesn't make sense.
Well, they know it's not the idol. It's
so the Gemara in Sanhedrin says as follows. Why were Jews attracted to Avodah Zarah? In order for them to sleep with whoever they wanted, that the Torah prohibited. The Torah prohibited us from having sexual relations with Arayot, both relatives and beyond. And this is why they went to Avodah Zarah. Now what does that Gemara mean? And here I give my interpretation. Avodah Zarah meant that there's a disconnect between life and spirituality, between what you call your religious life and your real life. And therefore, when you went ahead and you did idol worship, you were very spiritual. And then you said, bye-bye God, I'll see you next year, next week, whenever, in a few hours from now, and you went to life. Life, no restrictions. There's going to be girls, there's going to be food, there's going to be anything you want, a free-for-all. And then, all right, I got to go back to the church, the idol worship place, and do the little voodoo, and then I go back to life. If you look at the literature in Yirmiyahu and Yishayahu, you'll see that was the sin before Bais Rishon. They turned the Beis HaMikdash into sort of an idol worship. They brought korbanos, and in the afternoon they killed. They brought korbanos, and in the afternoon they stole. They did everything that the Torah says no to, because there was this disconnect between spiritual life and real life. That was Avodah Zarah. And therefore the Gemara says, it's to sleep with whoever you want. It's great. You know, you do a little voodoo, a little incense, a little of whatever. And then you go to life, and you do whatever you want. There's a total disconnect between life and spirituality.
It sounds like today.
Spirituality does not influence life. Now, why is that like today? And here is my pet beef with the Dvar Torah tragedy. The Gemara says that if you go to an idol worshipper's house and you eat kosher food and drink kosher wine, it's like eating zibchei meitim. The reason is because that meal is purely for what purpose? To eat. To satisfy yourself. Be it your stomach, be it socially, and that's it. There's no sanctity that penetrates in there. There's nothing elevated in that meal but to totally satisfy your physical being. That's it. Now, we all are physical beings. We all need to eat and drink and sleep, etc. But we try to do it with what? We try to add a little elevated purpose to it. And therefore, before we eat, we say a bracha. And after we eat, we say a bracha. And therefore, we don't just call a marriage the lust for a woman or the lust for a man. But what does a chazal call marriage? The act of a man connecting to a woman. The beginning of that relationship is called what? The giving of the ring? Kiddushin. What's the shorash? Let's go back to elementary school. Kadosh. Correct. Therefore, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah has to say, if you go to an idol worshiper, you're only doing it to eat and drink. That's Zivchei Meitin. And now we come to our Mishnah Navah. You have a meal, you have to have a Dvar Torah. If not, it's like Zivchei Meitin. In my humble opinion today, the way Divrei Torah are being said in most instances is exactly Zivchei Meitin, albeit in a different way. There's a Dvar Torah at the meal, and there's a meal, and it's still Zivchei Meitin. Why? Why do I call it the Dvar Torah tragedy? You're doing what you're supposed to do. You're not just eating and drinking at the idol worshiper. You're eating, you're drinking, it's kosher food, you're saying your brachas, and you're saying a Dvar Torah. How can that be a tragedy? In my opinion, because you're doing it in a way that is so similar to Avodah Zarah. What's Avodah Zarah? Life here, spirituality there. How are Divrei Torah usually introduced into a meal? I'm not talking about a banquet where everyone has to shut up in a very big room and the MC has to get up and make everyone quiet and stop the meal, so to speak, so you don't hear the clanking of the fork and the knife. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about at a table, a Shabbos table, a Yontif table, a regular meal during the week. How are Divrei Torah usually introduced?
Okay, I want to give it Divrei Torah.
Say it again, Mitch.
Okay, I want to give it.
Okay, I want to give it Dvar Torah.
I remember the shiur.
Okay, I want to give it Dvar Torah. Boom! I want to give it Dvar Torah. Yes, I thought about I spoke about this in the past, and now I'm adding these sources to it. What does that tell you? We're having a great time, and we're eating, and we're drinking, and we're enjoying ourselves. All right, let's stop the fun. We have to say Dvar Torah. And I want to add a source I didn't say back then, Mitch. It's not a source, it's a story. And this story is so telling. And this story, for me at least, dictates how I at least try, b'siyata d'shmaya, to say and to give Divrei Torah at any meal, at any kiddush, in any place. Rav Shlomo Levi, should live and be well, lives in the Vedaniel, is the Rosh Kolo in the Gush Yeshiva. He was my Rosh Kolo. When he was a bacher in the yeshiva, they went over to my Rebbe and mentor of Amital's house at Chanel of Racha on a Friday night. Now what do you do on a Friday night? You sing a little, you eat a little, you speak a little, hashkafa. I am absolutely positive there was Mamarei Chazal there, and there were Midrashim, and there were other things. And at the end of all this thing, everyone was sitting, and someone said, all right, maybe the Rosh Yeshiva would like to give a Dvar Torah. The Rav Amital looks at the gentleman and says, what would you like me to do, put on a gartel? What would you like me to do, put on a gartel? Do you understand what that answer says? What was I doing until now? No, until now it wasn't defined as a Dvar Torah, so it wasn't a Dvar Torah. The fact that you were quoting Mamarei Chazal and Psukim, and the fact that you were quoting Torah, no, that makes no difference. You have to stop the meal, stop what you're doing, make a mechitza, fun, Dvar Torah. That's the tragedy, in my opinion, today of the Dvar Torah. Three people eat together, Ve'en Benehem Divrei Torah, means that as you talk, and as you eat, and as you talk about current events, Torah comes out. You think about how does the Torah look at this? At least the question is asked. And if it isn't asked, and you have to introduce a Dvar Torah, then it should be connected to what you heard, not disconnected from what you heard. If everyone at the meal is talking about the snow, and no electricity, and how wonderful, how terrible our mayor is dealing with it. And all of a sudden you say, okay, I want to say a Dvar Torah. And this week's Parsha, it was Parsha Shmos. The Jewish people are counted again. And it shows that God loves the Jewish people. What does that have to do with what we're dealing with right now? My mind is in the snow and the mayor and the salt. And you all of a sudden come from left field. Oh, Dvar Torah. How do you think people are going to react to that Dvar Torah? It's exactly like the story. It's not connected to life. It's disconnected from life. Oh, Dvar Torah time. Let me put on my gartel. I'll put on my hat. Okay, Dvar Torah. Oh, Dvar Torah over. Hat over there, gartel over there. Let's go back to life. We are disconnecting Torah from life. This is a terrible tragedy. I don't understand Rabbanim, Mechanchim, parents, teachers, anyone else, that in the middle of a meal, they stop it, they make a mechitza, and they say a Dvar Torah. That's Zivchei Meitim. That means everything you did until then was Zivchei Meitim, was eating meal just for lust, eating food just for lust, eating drink just for lust, and then, oh, we have to say a Dvar Torah. What can we do? The Mishnah and others. If you really understand the Mishnah and others, and you connect it to the Gemara and Avodah Zarah, you understand Judaism is detrimentally opposed to Avodah Zarah. Do I have to go in further that with then the fact that we have to die rather than transgress for that particular sin? If we are detrimentally opposed to Avodah Zarah, don't make it Dvar Torah into an Avodah Zarah. Not the Avodah Zarah in the literal sense, but the Avodah Zarah, not the Avodah Zarah in the mitzvah sense, but the Avodah Zarah in the literal sense. Foreign worship. Foreign to life. Foreign to where I am. Foreign to where my heart is. I was recently at a simcha, doesn't make a difference which, and the rabbi gets up and says, I love him. Israelis say, you right away know, okay, this is going to be hard. I'd like to say a mazel tov to the father and to the mother and the birth of X, and we should have a Torah chuppah ma'isim tovim, says amen. In this week's parsha, we hear, and we should base a mikdash should be built, and amen. You want to say a Dvar Torah that's connected to what we're doing, rather simple. So you start with Mazel Tov to Mr. and Mrs. Us on the birth of X. A birth is something that is so beautiful. Think about the potential in front of this kid. We're ruined. He or she has his whole life ahead of him. And just reminds me that this is not just the only birth we're celebrating. This week we're celebrating the birth of the Jewish people as a nation. Power recognizes them not just as a family but as a nation. Then you go on, you say Dvar Torah. Now that H, life, Dvar Torah, has to have the little line between it. That's an H, uppercase H, not lowercase H. There is no line. Then unfortunately we're disconnecting Torah from life. And I believe that goes against the Mishnah and Avos. But I would like to quote another source for you. I don't think you heard this last time, Mitch. Tosfos asks a great question. This source I've quoted 25 times. I'll continue to quote it 30 times. Tosfos asks the best question. This is a kashya of the Tosfos I love. The answer, though, you have to put on your refrigerator. Tosfos asks, how come in the morning you ate your meal in the sukkah and you finished the meal in your bench and you left for it to you? If you come back a few hours later, what bracha do you make? Leishav basukah, and you leave the sukkah again, you come back, leishav basukah. But in the morning you said, la'asuk b'divrei Torah, we shall be busy with Torah, and you learned a little bit, and then you went to work, and then you screamed at your kids, and then you fought with your wife, you did many different things, and then at night you went to daf yomi. Do you make another la'asuk b'divrei Torah? Absolutely not. The Tosfos says, how come with the sukkah, yes, and with Torah, no? And the Tosfos gives a great answer. With the sukkah, you can leave the sukkah. But you never leave learning or being busy with Torah. Either you're learning it or you're fulfilling it. There's no such thing as life disconnected from sanctity. And therefore you can make a bracha once a day to show that your learning and your activities are Torah oriented, and that's good enough. Because your whole day should be Torah oriented. So if you're at a meal and you're talking about the snow and the salt, then please connect your Dvar Torah to it. Because then life and Torah are connected. And if not, then we're the Dvar Torah tragedy. We're eating, drinking, living. I got to say a Dvar Torah as well. And that, in my opinion, is a tragedy. And that has to be fixed. And it has to be fixed right now. This is not like a diet you're going to start tomorrow. This is something that's acute to our survival. If we want to survive as Jews, we dare not connect our Torah learning or our Torah preaching or our Torah teaching from life. It cannot be that life is over here and Torah is over there. So therefore, when you introduce your Dvar Torah, do never, ever create a mechitza. Never say Dvar Torah time. That's number one. Rule number two. try to the best of your abilities to connect it to what people were talking to and where their minds are. If not, as I said, life is disconnected totally from Torah. If you try to follow those two rules, I am pretty sure that the Dvar Torah will not be an annoyance. Of course, the time factor is important. But rather, it will be something that takes where you are, and wow, I'm up to the clouds now. I'm here, and now I just went up to level 2. This is great. I'm playing Pac-Man on level 1, and I went up to level 2. This is great. This is amazing. This is where I am. But God forbid you go ahead and you say, all right, you're playing Pac-Man, you're doing Dvar Torah time. You're disconnecting, unfortunately, life from Torah. And that's a tragedy, and that's awful. And that's not the way to teach, and that's not the way to influence life. And I say this from the most deepest parts of my very being. People know, who know me well, that ultimately my values in life are Torah-oriented. Or at least I try them to be Torah-oriented. I try very hard when I speak, never to just speak, but to say a Maamar Chazal and a Pasuk and to show. I'm not just giving an idea, I'm giving an idea that comes out of our holy books and our holy tradition. But it's only going to be holy if we connect it to life. If not, it's going to be, God forbid, like a foreign worship. Here's the rabbi's speech. Here's life. Here's the Torah. Here's what I really like to do. That can't be. That can't be. The same computer that has emails with Narishkeit is the same computer that has Divrei Torah sent to you. Right? It's the same internet, the same mechanism. That's the way a Dvar Torah has to be. If you want to be normal, and you want life to be normal, you want to live as a normal Jew, you have to connect your Torah to the normality where people are. If not, the Torah, God forbid, becomes abnormal.